The topic is aquaculture certification. I'm just opening up a debate here, whether it's an opportunity or a bottleneck for small-scale farmers. So as all of us know, certification is seen as more of a marketing tool, mainly to be used by consumers, importers, and traders to ensure compliance by primary producers to responsible practices. And responsible practices is necessarily compliance to mandatory and voluntary standards. And when we talk of mandatory and voluntary standards, they cover a whole gamut of issues like food safety, animal health and welfare, environment, social, ethical, legal, national rules, regulations, everything. If you look at the rationale for certification, why is the market so keen on certification? The society is looking for sustainable products, safe products, quality products, and even social equity in the whole process. And compliance to both the national and international standards are seen as approaches to minimize the negative impacts of aquaculture. And market is looking for an endorsement. Somebody has to endorse that this is produced as per the requirements. And certification is coming there. So certification is definitely has a role in the future globalized economy, in the market-driven economy. So people are looking for an endorsement telling that the primary production sector has complied to the following requirements and standards through a certification process. If you look at the schemes, there are many schemes. I will not go into the details. All the information is available in various respective websites of the certification programs. I think it should be recognized that it's a very encouraging sign that there is a lot of programs, both government programs, like the one which is very popular in Thailand. There is one in Bangladesh. There is one in China. There is one in Hong Kong. There are many government-driven programs. There are many private-driven programs, mainly catering to special markets, like the GAA-ACC is one of the first one, which is having a strong presence in the present seafood market. There is a global gap. There are aquaculture dialogue standards, which is mainly coordinated by the World Wildlife Fund, mainly coming through what we call Aquaculture Stewardship Council ASC standards. There are others like organic, natural land, soil association, Euroleaf, there are many standards and more, including fair trade, on which we will hear today. Okay, there are many certification schemes. But from a primary producing sector and from the farmer's point of view, and from your own policymakers and the government's point of view, there are several issues. Emergence of a wide range of certification schemes. The cost-benefit value to the producer is still not very clear. In some cases, yes, there is a clarity. There is confusion in the minds of producers and consumers as to which programs should be taken up, which programs are difficult, which programs are easy to follow. So what is generally felt is there is a need for more harmonization, or in other words, need for mutual recognition between standards, so that we know if you try to comply to this set of standards, then you're almost compliant to the other set of standards. In this background, FAO initiated the process of developing what we call the International Guidelines on Aquaculture Certification, and NACA played a major role in coordinating this international global consultation. And the guidelines that have been developed and adopted now cover four substantive criteria which must be used by all certification programs, covering food safety issues, animal health and welfare issues, environmental integrity issues, and social issues. The FAO process was quite a long process. Started off way back in 2006 in New Delhi. I'm sure Mr. Tarun Sridhar will be aware of this, in the COFI subcommittee meeting in 2006. And finally, it going through large numbers of consultative process, revisions, guidelines, comments and revisions. It was finally adopted by all the FAO governments, member governments, in the 28th session of COFI on 31st January to 4th February 2011. So now it's become an internationally recognized guideline for setting up and operating a certification program, be it a government program, be it a private program. So if you try to establish a program in line with these guidelines, then your program is more credible, more recognizable, and you can even work on benchmarking and equivalence and things like that. Okay. So if you look at the definition of certification, it's a procedure by which a certification body gives a written or an equivalent assurance that a product, process, or service conforms to specified requirements, that is standards. The certification body is a competent and recognized body that conducts the process or the conformity assessment. and an accreditation body is the one that accredits the certification body. So what is very important and critical is these are different entities. I'll come to that. These three have to be separate entities. If you now look at some of the government as well as some of the private certification schemes, there is still a confusion and there are no three different entities. Some have able to manage, have managed to put in three entities. So there must be three entities if there is any certification program to be credible. The standard setting and the standard ownership should be different. The certification body should be different. The accreditation body which does accredits the certification body should be different. Only if your certification scheme complies with these three entities, then it will be more credible. You cannot have a government system which in the same department set the standard, the same department does the auditing, the same department does the accreditation, then I think the consumers and the markets will not accept that easily. And that will not be in line with the internationally recognized guidelines for any certification program. And what is very important is recognized in the international guidelines is these four things. The overall governance mechanism for a certification scheme. It has to be transparent, credible, robust, and there must be clearly divided responsibilities. And the standard setting process, even if it's government or private, should be transparent, technically sound, and should be participatory in nature. The accreditation has to be from an independent and impartial body, and the certification body should be separate from the scheme owner. You cannot have the scheme owner and the certification body same. That's conflict of interest, and that program will not be a credible program. If you look into the meaning of standards, conformity assessment, and accreditation, and look at the how standards are developed, I would just like to take you through one example. Like from impact to standard, this is based on the WWF system. Like if you look, water pollution as an impact of aquaculture, the principle is conserve and protect water resource. The criteria is effluents. The indicator is the concentration of maybe nitrogen in the effluent. The standard is say 4 milligram or 5 milligram or whatever of nitrogen. So please see the relationship between standard, indicators, criteria, principle and impact, and then try to link it to BMPs. In this case, the BMPs would be feed management, stocking density, sediment control. So BMPs are not standards, but standards are very clearly linked to the impact, the principle, the criteria, the indicator. And if you take another example, like in case of human beings, the impact is overweight, the principle is maintain a healthy weight, the criteria is food consumption, the indicator is calories, and the standard is 1,500 calories. So there is, I think, when we discuss certification, I think all stakeholders must have a clear understanding of this. Otherwise, we start getting it confused with standards, BMPs, practice. So practices are different. So here again, our overweight, the practice is different. You should eat properly, avoid rice in the night, eat more chapatis. That is the practice or what we try to do. So I think getting this right is very important. And the three entities, the standard is based on an impact, principle, criteria, and indicator. The conformity assessment mechanism of verification by the certification body. Accreditation is accrediting the certification body for their credentials and their ability to do the certification. The next question being asked now is certification for all or some standards? There are various markets with varying requirements. Some markets are asking only for the food safety standards, which is largely met by the codex standards, and it's a national responsibility. The governments are responsible for ensuring compliance to the food safety standards. It's not necessarily the responsibility of private standards. And by many markets for animal health. Animal health, again, all producers must comply to animal health standard requirements as decided by the OIE, World Animal Health Organization. Again, the responsibility rests with the national governments. Few buyers also look for animal welfare, social, and environmental other responsibilities. Here, governments may be responsible or may not be responsible, but private third-party certifications take a lead in looking into some of these voluntary standards. But again, if you look at the mandatory and voluntary nature of standards, food safety and animal health, by being members of WTO, SPS, WTO, we are all obliged to comply to the WTO SPS obligations. So both food safety and animal health become mandatory requirements. The governments have to comply with these requirements. Otherwise, there will be trade issues. Private standards and WTO. This is a very interesting thing that's come up for discussions lately. The WTO mechanism is having issues with the private standards, how all this can be taken together in the larger interest of the markets and the larger interest of the industry, not only for fish and fisheries, but even for other products and commodities. For some WTO members, they think by using private standards, it encourages more responsible practices and thus helps the suppliers to improve quality and gain access to market, which is true. But some WTO members, they question whether private standards and certification schemes duplicate or complement the government work. As I told you, food safety and animal health comes under the sovereign right of the national governments, and it is their responsibility to give assurance to their trading partners, not the responsibility of a third-party certification program. Okay, but some argue that they improve sustainability, consumer and environmental protection, but also add cost of compliance. So who is paying for this additional cost of compliance? And whether they comply with the disciplines of SPS and TBT agreements in terms of transparency, scientific basis, and other issues. And how to define the boundaries between public and private in relation to implementation of standards and compliance. So this debate is still going on. And what mechanisms will the national governments have to challenge the private standards? Tomorrow, if it's used as a barrier to trade, will sovereign governments have the right to challenge the private standards in the WTO trade dispute mechanism? So these are all the issues that are being discussed, I think, which we must be aware of. If you look at the issues for small-scale farmers, there are many issues. I will not go into the details, but small-scale farmers looking for individual certification is a very, very tough task. It's not easy for individual farmers to get certified because of various reasons, mainly because of the cost of compliance. If you look at the cost of compliance, you can divide it into several categories. First is the changes that would be needing in terms of physical facilities, changes required in terms of management practices, changes required in terms of even additional services. If you go through any of the standard certification standards, you would see that a farm should have an excellent health management plan. But for a farmer, to have an excellent health management plan written and documented, he has to hire the services of a health management expert. So that is an additional cost. Similarly, physical facilities like effluent treatment or sedimentation tanks. So one is the cost of compliance. Another one is the cost of certification, like the registration fee, the audit fee, the use of logo fee, each adds to the cost. And so it's largely speaking, throughout Asia Pacific, for individual small farmers, it's going to be significantly cost prohibitive. So the way forward, which many believe, is group. Working as a group, you pay for one certification cost, so you try to reduce the cost and maximize the returns by acting as a single unit and also achieving the economy of scale. So group certification is intended for a group of farmers, normally considered for small-scale aquaculture, for whom individual certification is cost prohibitive and who have key characteristics in common, like, for example, common marketing, homogeneity of members in terms of location, resource use, species, production system, products, and other things. Mainly to achieve the economy of scale, reduce the cost and efforts of certification, and enable small farmers to participate in the process. I'll not go into the definition of clusters. Sena has covered it. So ultimately, the clusters should have the participatory approach, common goal, and a democratic process. If you look at cluster certification through a project with the support of EMPEDA, EMPEDA and NACA have developed cluster certification guidelines. You should initially have what we call functional clusters, not just setting up clusters for namesake, but the clusters must be functioning in terms of all definition of what is a functional cluster. Only when we have functional clusters, then it is possible for third-party certification programs to come and interact with these clusters and take them forward, depending on the market demand and the requirements, towards a cluster certification program. I don't think any third-party certification program would be interested to come and organize groups. They would be very happy to work with functional clusters. So I think that way, now India has made a lot of progress. We already have around 700 plus so-called functional clusters. So it's a good starting point for us to address the issue of cluster or group certification. Okay, these are the various steps for a functional cluster, various steps for setting up an cluster certification program. We will not go into that. If anybody is interested, they could look into the guidelines that's available in both NACA and the EMPEDA websites. But very key message in the cluster certification is the internal control system of a cluster. This is key, and this should give the quality assurance on behalf of all the members of the cluster. A cluster with a well-functioning internal control system is giving an assurance on behalf of the cluster members to the certification agency. That's how the cost comes down. And the entire cluster gets certified in a single as a single certificate and they pay a single cost. Okay, so the question I think we should address over the next today and tomorrow is what needs to be done for small-scale farmer inclusive group certification to become a reality. It's yet to become a reality in a large scale. So if this has to become a reality, what needs to be done? First thing is, I think the clusters need a lot of assistance to take a decision as to choose a certification program. We should not force clusters to choose A, B, C, D. The clusters must be able to make independent decisions based on the information they get, the market forces, their processors, their supply chain integration. So they need access to information. There is a role for processors. There is a role for buyers and importers. There is a role for intermediaries. Now we see a lot of intermediaries who come as agents for responsible sourcing. They try to locate good production units, they try to link it to a processor, link it to a buyer. And there is a role for certification schemes. I think all have a role if cluster certification is to become a reality. Benchmarking, I think this is being taken up now by many government and private standards after the FAO Global Aquaculture Certification Guidelines has been accepted. Now every certification scheme wants to demonstrate that they are conforming to the international guidelines. So they are taking up on their own benchmarking exercises. This is mainly to facilitate, to identify the certification schemes that conform to the FAO Aquaculture Certification Guidelines. And this will help to look for equivalence. There may be exceptions possible because some certification schemes we may not be able to find equivalence. Once equivalence is established, it would be easy for small farmers to make informed decisions and choices, and also easy for various certification schemes to come to agreements and mutual recognition schemes. So it becomes easy for the farmers and the sector. So there can be some sort of a mutual recognition even amongst the certification schemes. That's slowly happening now. But the question is, who will do the benchmarking and who will take up the issue of working out equivalence? But this is a major challenge UN certification programs have to address if it has to really be taken up in a large scale. Who provides the service? This is a big question. Who will provide the service for the small-scale farmers to comply to the chosen certification program standards? So capacity building of farmers and clusters on concepts and approaches is very, very important. Then the next question is carrying out technical and financial analysis of compliance. For each standard of a certification program, someone has to look at the technical compliance, the financial issues for compliance, and whether the clusters are able to really comply, are able to really do it. And then they need to be supported to comply to the standards of the chosen certification program. I will still emphasize the fact that the clusters must have the freedom to decide to go with which certification program they want. I think we should not impose on them telling that you should go with only this certification program or not. We should leave it to the market dynamics. But who will support? I think the governments have a role. Technical arm of certification schemes have a role. Even private consulting groups are coming up now. I don't know whether it's good or bad, but private consulting groups are coming up to adopt clusters, support them to achieve compliance to particular standards. It may be good, it may be, I don't know, we need to really discuss. NGOs are taking this role, but ultimately service provision to this cluster is a must if cluster certification has to become a reality. Otherwise, cluster certification will only remain in reports and books. Who pays? I think this is where we need a very well thought out strategy. Who pays for this whole thing? We cannot ask the clusters to pay for the entire thing. Impossible. So there is a need for a supply chain integration and spreading the cost along the supply chain. Along the actors, all the actors along the supply chain should take responsibilities. This is again slowly happening now. This will enable sharing the cost of certification between the consumer to the producer through the value chain, and also enable sharing the benefits. We don't want the benefits, all the benefits only going to the final consumers and all the cost being borne by the farmers. I think this needs to be really well spread out through well thought out strategies. And I've already seen examples where proactive measures are being taken by some certification programs to look into the supply chain spreading of the cost, which is a good development. You know, relevance to scaling up to our workshop, I think certification is definitely relevant, but it should not be seen as a burden. It should be more seen as an enabling mechanism, so that cluster concept can be promoted, BMP concept can be promoted, and finally compliance can be promoted. So it's BMP and this scaling up will help enhance the compliance, access markets, maximize returns. And when this happens, if this really happens and clusters start getting rewards, I'm sure BMPs and the cluster approach will automatically be taken up in a large scale, not only in India, in other countries. And certification should be used to support small-scale farmer inclusive scaling up. We would not like to see a certification program only for corporates and big farms, where large sectors of the small-scale sector is left out of this process. So if it's possible, I think we should try to encourage programs to be inclusive so that the sector is taken forward and there is no marginalization of small scale sectors. Okay. Some case studies, Sena briefly told you, this is the example from Thailand, a very good example where the entire supply chain is integrated and the cluster not only meets the national standards but also the additional standards of the buyer, and the products are marketed in Marks and Spencer as an ecological story. And you can see the story there. Our sustainably sourced prawns are naturally sweet in flavor and selected from small farms within a cooperative of the Gulf of Thailand. So clearly showing the advantage of a small cluster, strong internal control system, complying to all the government standards plus additional standards required by the Marks and Spencer Group. And now it's marketed in 220 outlets in UK. So it's a small exercise which just shows there is a possibility both for certified and non-certified products as long as quality can be assured and there is an independent verification system to assure the quality. India, some attempts were made with Cisco. I am not sure to what's the progress that's been made. And some progress was made with respect to cluster certification, with respect to some of the organic standards. So there are many lessons that have been learned there, which needs to be really used effectively to take it forward. Again, under the Empada NACA project, a cluster certification guidelines has been developed. This is going to be very useful if future certification programs are going to take up group certification in a large way. Then some of the steps defined and identified here would be a useful guide for the third-party certification programs to look into and adopt where required. There is an FAO TCP project ongoing in Thailand, which has established 4 clusters. It's built the capacity, promoted the implementation of the Thai GAP standard, the government standard, established internal control systems, monitored and supported compliance, and now internal auditing is finished, and the 4 clusters are now being subjected to an external audit. And if they pass the external audit, this will be again a first example of 4 clusters being certified for Thai GAP under a new system in Thailand, which conforms to the FAO guidelines by having 3 separate entities for standards, certification body and accreditation body. This is the project in Vietnam where catfish BMPs have been developed and finalized. 11 clusters have been set up, very small scale compared to Indian cluster story, facilitating operation of clusters and aiming to minimize risk and maximize returns and slowly take it towards group certification and market access. So for conclusions, for small scale farmers, group certification is the only way forward if they want to really. And organization of small-scale farmers is vital, either as groups, clubs, societies, you can give any name you want. But what is very important is adoption of BMPs and what we call a standard operating procedure or the internal control system, which gives the assurance on behalf of the group to anyone who is outside. So the group leader and the internal control system must be confident in telling that our group has followed everything and it should have all the records and documents to demonstrate compliance, which is not easy. It's a very, very difficult process. And establishing and operating an effective internal control system is not easy. It's a very, very tough task, and it needs a dedicated team of workers to constitute an ICS and operate an ICS. On paper, it looks easy, but when you start implementing, you'll understand it's not easy. But it is possible. It is possible. So small-scale farmers make up the majority of the Asian aquaculture farmers. Participation in certification will be essential for future market access. Whether we like it or not, I personally may not like, but that's what the market wants. If the market wants certified products, then I think we need to be prepared, and we cannot leave our farmers in the dark. They need to be supported, and they need to be informed. Their capacity needs to be built. Cluster is one good approach. However, substantial investment and policy support is required for enabling this and linking it to the markets. I see certification and linking to markets as the important steps which we need to take in the Indian situation for taking the cluster story forward. Preparing clusters to participate in future certification programs of their choice and connecting clusters to markets to receive better price for a quality product. I think this should be our aim, to especially for India. Now that having established 700 plus clusters, I think we need to achieve breakthroughs in this, and then I think our cluster story will be complete. Now the cluster story is not complete. Thank you very much.